Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is, You Are Here. In all the craziness that has taken over our nation of America, with first the craziness in the White House, then the pandemic, then coast-to-coast rioting and violence, do y'all ever wake up in the mornings and wish for one of those maps like you see in the mall that say, You Are Here? I know I do. This year has just been insane. I got to tell y'all something. In the past several months, the Lord has been dealing with me about some attitudes I had that were not what He wanted them to be. And each time He showed me, I saw the error of my ways, and I felt really bad that I needed correction. And I repented, committed to change, and asked the Lord to forgive me to help me do better. Because as we know, to repent means to change direction. It's not just saying sorry to God, it's actually turning around and going the other way and doing right instead of wrong. Praise God, He does not leave us the way we were. One day this week, I was talking on the phone with Nicole, and she mentioned this conviction and repentance was happening to her dad too, and that it was just not me. And I was shocked her dad could ever need correction because he's been a preacher of the true word of God for years now. He calls sin what it is and preaches the real word of God, not the more progressive version that's popular in most mainstream churches today. Just goes to show you that we preachers are all human, and we're just all doing the best we can like y'all are. Nicole said he had preached a message that Sunday that this is the time of the refining of the bride of Christ. And when she said that, something hit my spirit so hard, and I knew right then that was why that was happening. And you know, God takes us as teachers through stuff so we can teach y'all. That's just how that works. Nicole also said something very profound. She said, you know, we're all being refined right now. We thought we were okay, but God has shown us that we're not. That is so true. So I want to tell y'all today that you are here. We are in the time of the refining of the bride of Christ. He is removing the spots and blemishes so He can present to Himself a bride without spot or wrinkle. The other thing that I've seen a trend in lately, just so y'all know, is the Lord is having His people get out of debt. I don't know if debt is a spot or what, but He has impressed that on a bunch of us. And I really feel, you know, the urgency to get completely free of debt. And I don't even have very much debt. But, you know, one thing you can do, because I can hear you all going, I don't have any money to get out of debt. One thing you can do is cut back on your regular expenses and become more and more frugal, and then use whatever money that frees up to pay down what you owe, okay? And in debt, while I'm on the subject, let's don't forget about the people we owe. Loans you took in times of need. I've seen people borrow and borrow from loved ones, and then when they get some money, it's like they got amnesia. I am no, y'all are laughing, I know you are. They just go on a spending spree and forget about all the good-hearted people whose money they took. That's not right, y'all. The Lord says an evil man borrows and does not repay. That's what the word says. God won't overlook that. He will give the enemy access to your money if you do that to someone else. So we're in the time of the refining of the bride. That means we're close to going home. So that's good news. The refining of the bride is talked about in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I read that from the New King James Version, because it's easier for me to read on the air. Okay, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot. That spot means fault or moral blemish, or any such thing, that it should be holy. I'm reading from the King James now, and without blemish. Blemish means morally blemish. It means faultless, unblameable, without blemish. Here is compared to, in biblical times, if they took a sacrifice to the temple, it had to be perfect. It could not have anything wrong with it whatsoever. It could not have any blemish on it. It couldn't have a clip out of its ear. It couldn't have a lame leg. It couldn't have any of that. It had to be without blemish. He is getting his bride ready for the marriage feast, y'all. That's good news for us. Now, you will probably notice around you that the lukewarm are not getting the memo to be refined. It's not that he's not trying to refine them. It's that they don't believe their sins count against them, so they can't hear him say that. You won't see any of the lukewarm at the marriage supper. They will stay for the late show and go through the horrors of the great tribulation because they refuse to give up their sin, okay? Here's the thing. He wants us to try our very hardest to not have any sin in our lives. And I'm going to tell you why this is very important to do this in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us a whole list of sins that we need to put aside. And it also tells us that we have not fought hard enough against our sin. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Y'all know what that cloud of witnesses is? That's the people that have gone on before us, all the disciples and all the saints that have gone on before us, all your family that's died if they were in Christ, if they were saved. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Chasten is to correct. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If God doesn't chasten you and correct you, you're not his child. Can I just tell you that? That is what this says. So if we are not being chastened or chastised or corrected, if the Lord is leaving us alone with our sin and we do not feel sorry or repentant for it, we should be very concerned. To chastise means to be instructed or taught. It means to learn or to cause to learn, okay? So we are in the time of the refining of the bride of Christ. Some people ask, how does it feel to be in the refining process? I can only tell you about my own experiences. To me, it felt like being in a pressure cooker. I usually cry and pray and fast my way through my seasons of refining. The Bible compares refining with refining metal like gold. Gold is refined at very high temperatures. In the old days, and maybe in some places today, gold is refined over a fire. Fire is hot and very intense. The intense heat of fire makes things expand. The refining fire will especially expand your emotions. They are magnified and you have pressure on every side, and you have to fight blowing up at people in situations, or not. Some people don't fight it. You have to fight just giving up and going away from God when it gets so hard. You feel like you cannot do another minute in the intense heat. The Lord often refines us by taking our comforts away and stripping away our security blankets. And then we are afflicted with various burdens, relationship troubles, bill collectors calling, physical pain and inconvenience, having to live with relatives you'd rather not live with, all manner of afflictions depending on exactly what the Lord is trying to accomplish in you in that season of refining. We don't tend to act real well when we're uncomfortable. When you take away our stuff and we're in lack, we can become desperate and act out. When you're being refined, ugliness will rise up in your heart that you would never have dreamed was in there. The good news is that's exactly what the Lord wants it to do, because we cannot repent for ugliness if we don't know it's there, right? The intense heat and pressure of the fire cause impurities to rise to the surface where they can be removed, leaving only the purest and most beautiful gold. But if the fire cools down too much, the gold will harden with the impurities still in it. If it gets too hot, it will be destroyed. The refining fire is a delicate balance. The Lord watches over us very intently and carefully when we are in the fiery furnace of refining. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. That's Isaiah 48:10. When you get through the refining, you become the chosen. You go from being the called to being the chosen. Refining is not fun, but it is necessary. We are in the time of the refining of the bride. We are about to go home, and he is getting us ready to go home. So what does submitting to him look like? How do we do that? It looks like, okay, we're about to do a sin, or we're, you know, about to open our mouth and say something we shouldn't say, and we get a check in our spirit or correcting word from the Lord, and we turn and do the right thing instead of staying on the path we're on and going the wrong way. And we know when we're getting a check in our spirit, don't we? That little feeling of, oh, I shouldn't do this. We know. God's spirit in us tells us when we are out of line. This discernment that tells you good from bad, right from wrong, comes when you have God's spirit. It is his spirit in you that discerns, that lets you know what is of him and what is not. What is his path? What is the devil's path? That's why the unsaved cannot stand to listen to God's word. For to them, it's foolishness because they don't have his spirit. Proverbs also tells us in 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Folly means foolishness. So what that verse is saying is foolishness is joy to him who has no discernment or who has none of God's spirit. Colossians 3 gives us a list of sins to avoid or put aside too, and how to behave instead. See, the Lord does not leave us without instruction in his word, if we'll go to his word and find the instruction. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And you know, 2 Corinthians 7 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So let's say you've decided you don't want any of this having your comfort and security stripped away. You're like, no, I don't want to be refined. I'm not doing it. What then? What happens if we don't submit? Remember what Jesus said to Peter in John 13:8? Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now, do you remember what it said about the bride being made clean? She is washed in the water of the word. Okay. I think that those who are without spot, who are ready to go when the time gets here, the very minute gets here, will go in a catching away before the really bad stuff starts. The Lord literally told me, I can't remember if this last year or if it was earlier this year, but that those who refuse his refining will be left as long as is necessary in the great tribulation as he works with them on submitting to his refining. It's up to us, y'all, how much of the horror of the great tribulation we want to go through. It's really up to us if we want to take the refining or if we want to take, you know, the hard way. There's an easy way and a hard way. Luke 21:36 tells us to pray we will be counted worthy to escape what is coming. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How can we be counted worthy? We need to submit to his refining, lay down what he is showing us we need to lay down, commit to do the right thing in every instance, every day, for his glory. And it is not an easy thing to do, is it? But the more of the word we get, the easier it becomes. Did you know that? The more of his word you have in you, the easier it becomes to do the right thing all the time. In the time when those who did not go as part of the bride are left here, Daniel has a verse for us. Perry Stone just did a real good sermon on this. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Meaning those who know God that are wise are going to understand what's going on. The wicked are just going to keep on being who they are. Revelation 7:13-14 talks about those who are left behind, but then submit to the Lord. Then, when they realize what's going on, they go, okay, let's go ahead and submit to the refining. And at last allow his refining to happen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I did not know and did not realize until I listened to Perry Stone's sermon. Like he said, these are the ones who washed their robes. Our robes are already white. If we're doing the right thing, we're righteous before God and we are living without sin, our robes are already white. These are the people who started going into the tribulation, said, whoa, 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 let's get everything right here. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the water of his word, I'm sure. The Bible tells us in many places what happens to those who refuse and continue to refuse God. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 23, is one part of the Bible that tells us what will happen. Turn at my rebuke. The King James says, turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. That means, basically, he will laugh at the people who keep refusing him, that at last when the bad stuff comes for them and they're about to lose their life, he's just going to go, well, you know, I told you. Revelation 9 lists the first two of three woes that will come upon those that are still on the earth. A woe is a very intense hardship or a horror. This will be like being in a horror movie, only instead of watching it, you're going to experience it. One is the demonic locust type insect that stings like a scorpion. It made me think of the Asian hornets that were just found in the U.S. If y'all watch any videos of those, they will haunt you forever. You can't get them out of your head. It's bad. They are huge, huge. And like if somebody walks past one of their nests, they attack them. They kill bees. They go to beehives and they literally snap the bees' necks. I can't make this stuff up. I promise you, I cannot make this up. But the Bible says there will be locust-type insects whose sting lasts 5 months. And a demon from hell rules over them, so they are demonic locust-type insects that sting for 5 months. That will not be pretty. That will not be pretty, y'all. The second woe is a 200 million man army that's going to kill a whole bunch of people. That's not going to be very pretty either. The third woe will bring the seven bowl judgments that the Bible says if the time was not cut short, nobody would survive. Those are the wrath judgments. Revelation 16:11 tells us how the very last ones left will act after all of this happens. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Now, the Lord told me one time, I can't remember this was 2 or 3 years ago, I think. He literally told me that they would be handed over to Satan alive at the end of the tribulation when everything's over. That they, the last ones, would be handed over to the devil while they were still alive. I don't even want to think about what's going to happen. Those who refuse to obey God and change the things he is showing them will be left behind for one last chance to learn through suffering in the unparalleled events that are coming. We know there is a time of lawlessness coming. The violent protests and riots, the Lord told me, were a preview of what is to come. I think that is just some of what it will look like. I think it's going to be far worse. For those who still refuse the truth in that time, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us what will happen. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I believe 100% that the end times deception, we're already there, the end times deception is the deception that you can say the sinner's prayer one time and you can go on sinning and you're saved. I do. That is a lack of the love of the truth. The truth tells us God hates sin. He always hated sin. He still hates sin. He never liked sin. We are not supposed to be friends with sin. Sin is the devil's way. How are we supposed to go to heaven holding hands with the devil? I'm just saying. Don't send me any nasty emails over this, because I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I'm telling you, God hates sin. You can do with that whatever you want to. And God giving him over to strong delusion is God giving people over to a reprobate mind. They refuse the truth, so he gives them over to the lie. Now, he gives them space to repent many times before he does that, but once he gives them over to a reprobate mind, there's no more repentance. The repentance comes from him. Did y'all know that? Yeah. And can I just say that however tough going through refining is, the great tribulation will be far worse. So choose wisely, because once that cloud is left with the bride, that ship has sailed, and you're going to be here for an extended stay in very bad conditions. The choice is yours. The bottom line is, no one has to submit, but those who keep refusing God and keep refusing God are really going to suffer. And if they keep refusing God to the end, they're going to suffer for all eternity. We are here. We are in the time of the refining of the bride of Christ. We could submit to the refining, or we can reject his refining and pay the price for it. It's up to us. That's all I have for y'all today. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope y'all have a great week. Choose wisely. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?